Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone, and welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone is having a beautiful hump day today. Ah, it is good to be back on air. Good to be back. We've got so much stuff to get into today. We're going to talk about this Major League Baseball deal, playing all their games in Arizona, and we're going to definitely take some thoughts on that. Talk about basketball, their thoughts on coming back, the NFL draft, and Dana White and UFC. He is just, he's killing me here. And why the hell is there wrestling going on in Florida? So these are some of the topics we're going to definitely get into today. Special guest today, the one and only Johanna Rosalie. You know her, obviously, from the Sports Cave. But don't forget, she's also the face and the owner of Insight Sports. She'll be joining us in about 5 minutes or so, so we'll have her on as well. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Don't worry, just because you can't go in and sit down and rest and smoke, you can still get over there. They are open. Now listen, you can't go in. They will bring you your cigars out to the door. You just got to let them know what you want, or you can call ahead and pre-order. And that's at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. They're open 11 till 6, Tuesday through Saturday. You can pick up and go. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now, let's just say you can't get out there or you're not in the Chandler area. No worries whatsoever. If you go to Stogie World, that's STOAGIEworld.com. You can have your cigars mailed to you. So get with them. Just because we're going through a pandemic doesn't mean that you have to slack on your cigars. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, we are back. We are here. This is The Cave Show. Never fear. We weren't going to be gone forever. Just had some time off, a lot of craziness, a lot of personal stuff happening. But we are back and ready to roll. We will be getting you caught up on everything. I know it's not a lot of everything to get caught up on. I mean, when we left, we were about to get to the home stretch of the NBA season. We were in the midst of spring training and all that good stuff. And all of a sudden, unfortunately, and we, you know, prayers to the families that have, those that are sick and those that have lost their life through the coronavirus. So sad, so much unnecessary death going on out there. So before we say anything else about sports, definitely want to give prayers for all those people, and hopefully those of you that aren't sick or don't know anybody sick, or stay healthy, wash your hands, stay inside. There's no need to go to the grocery store every single day. Get the stuff you need, get your butt back in the house. It's just that simple. If you do the stuff that's asked, this too shall pass. If you want to be hard-headed, and you want to go to the store every day, you want to live in D.C. and go to the store every single day, and get mad because they ask you to wear a face mask, you want to be one of those trolling idiots, this is going to last a lot longer. But I do want to get into baseball. I do want to get into sports. I want to talk about Major League Baseball's idea of putting all 30 teams in the Valley and letting them play, and their other idea of having some teams play in Florida, the Grapefruit League teams stay there, the other teams stay here. I do like Arizona hosting all the teams. Here's my issue, and here's my thought, and I can't wait for Johanna to hop on, and we'll get her thoughts on this too. My concern more than anything, and let me even back up a little bit more. I think if any sport can pull this off first, I think it's baseball. Because the contact isn't as great. Hell, left fielders, right fielders, center fielders, they're already 6 feet away from each other. Every player on the infield is 6 feet away from each other. The catcher and the pitcher, 6 feet or more away from each other. The only time that comes into play, batters come up, and someone's on first and you're holding them on. But I believe that baseball can pull this off before any other sport in terms of actually returning to the field of play. I really, truly believe that. And I'm going to get into why, but first, we have to get our lovely guest on. In fact, I'll be on Inside Sports later on tonight. Just thought I'd throw that out there. The one and only Joanna Rosalie. Thank you for making time in the middle of your Wednesday hump day for hopping on the Cave Show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. It's always an honor to be on the show, and I'm excited to have you on tonight as well. So it'll be a dual show today.
Well, it's hard to get you on and to get me on because you're such a superstar. I have to pull all these strings and promise to, like, do all these, you know, big-time favors and deliver all this stuff and do all this stuff. But it's okay. You know, I know. I understand.
Not at all. Not at all. You're the superstar here.
So I want your opinion. It's what I was saying is, in terms of all the sports, I thought baseball would be the easiest sport to return, not necessarily for the fans, but the players, because unless, obviously, when the batter's at the plate, he's not 6 feet away, and if he's on first base, he's obviously not 6 feet away. But none of the players in the field are ever within 6 feet of each other, hardly ever. So you can still create a certain amount of social distancing, and not only that, but even when the batters are up, it's not like they're there for 8 weeks. And it's open air. So I think if any sport has an opportunity to play or prove that it can play before any other sport, baseball would be the perfect model. What are your thoughts?
As far as the playing goes, I agree with you. They do have the space and to where they're not in contact like that. You're playing, you know, when you're playing soccer, you're playing basketball, football, any other type of sport. I think where it all, you know, comes together and lies is you will end up having some contact and you're in the dugouts, you're in the batting cages, you're in the training. And I know, you know, when all this happened, it was in the middle of spring training as well. So I think that's where ultimately it all comes down to. It's just having that contact in close proximity in those areas, not as far as being out on the field and as far as playing the sport, because that's something that could be done. I think baseball has a chance of possibly coming back sooner. There will just have to be some rules in place and how they can spread out and how the distance that's needed in order to come back and play the game, and how that's going to work is what I'm interested to find out, because they're saying as early as June, there's a possibility that we can have them play.
Now, see, here's what I'm thinking, and I thought about that, too, in terms of the proximity. And we know this because we've covered ridiculous amounts of baseball games. Half the players in the dugout will never see the field that day. Half the pitchers will never see the field that day. So maybe starting pitchers, they don't even show up unless it's your day to start. It's not the playoffs, so you know they're not going to pitch. And now I believe that new rule is in effect that a guy has to pitch three batters anyway before he's taken out. So maybe there's something you could do in a bullpen to spread people out or have them go into the clubhouse or sit away from everyone else. And in terms of the players, maybe you don't need everyone there. Maybe you don't need – if everyone is playing with the same quote-unquote disadvantage, you have your first base or second base, your manager, and your bench coach, but you don't need everybody else. And if everybody plays with the same disadvantage, maybe that's something that could work.
Yeah, I've thought about that too. You know, a good point with the bullpen, only having that, you know, first starting pitcher in your, you know, whoever else is going to have on the lineup for pitching possibilities only appear at the ballpark that day. That will minimize it to, let's say, maybe five. And only you have the starting pitcher, you have somebody coming in to warm up, only have one person on the bullpen. Depending on how your bullpen is set up, you can do one person or you can maybe do two people, two pitchers. So there's an option there. But the other players, yeah. You know, okay, let's say a total of 15 versus a, you know, a roster of 25, 30, at least you, when starting up the season. And, you know, that can spread out a little bit and not having everybody so close together and only include the coaches as well that are needed for that game. So, yeah.
Here's what I don't get. Fans aren't going to be there anyway. So mm-hmm. how come the players have to be in the dugout? Why can't they sit in the stands behind the dugout? The fans aren't there anyway. If you sit one every 6 seats, why can't they sit there and watch the game? And if they're used, they're used. If they're not, they're not.
I'm not going to think about that. Yeah, that's also a possibility. Yeah, because the games, they'll be televised. No fans. You know, media will be there. Will be the only other thing. But, yeah. So that would be interesting how that could work, or how they would make that work if that's just even an option for MLB that they want to do too.
See, here's my thing, and I thought about this more and more. As much as I would like to see all teams come down to Arizona to play, I think that would be great in so many ways. There are two things I think they would have to do, and on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Joanna Rosalie, you know her. She does everything down here with sports in Arizona. The person that runs and in charge of Inside Sports. The one thing that I think they would have to do is no one should be allowed to play at Chase Field, because whoever plays at Chase Field, you're going to have the roof closed. Everyone else is going to be playing in open air stadiums. It's going to be 120 degrees. So isn't that a disadvantage for the teams playing outside versus the teams playing inside?
Maybe you can, with Chase Field, you also have the possibility of it being an open, you know, open ballpark, open stadium. So there's that possibility. Yes, you have the disadvantage of, okay, you have the home team playing in their own home stadium. However, you know, you do have the others playing on minor league or spring training facilities. So there's that disadvantage. Having it out in the open, having a game in an open stadium ballpark, you know, it's a lot more beneficial than having it closed in with, you know, all the situation with how coronavirus is spreading. So,
I have so many, you know what? I want to say, listen, we cover sports. I miss covering sports. People say how much they miss watching sports. I miss covering sports. I miss being at games. I miss interviewing players. As mm-hmm. as we know, baseball would be in full hot, but basketball would be getting ready for the playoffs. This is that time of the year. This is the time that I absolutely love. March Madness would have just wrapped up. Everything would have been on and cracking. So I love it. I miss it. I want it back. But I have some real reservations when it comes to people and their lives and their ability to be living. And I'm thinking about this, and the more and more I think about this, the more and more I think, okay, so we bring all 30 teams here. We put them in 30 different hotels. And so that way they're quarantined. They don't come in contact with anyone. Well, are the people working the hotels, are they going to be quarantined? Are the cooks or the servers or the maids, or are they going to come in contact with no one? Are the people driving the buses going to be quarantined as well? So that way they don't go to their family, or when they get off work from driving a bus, they don't go out and do real world things and then come back on the bus. And if you get one player sick, then aren't you, let's say one player from the Oakland A's gets coronavirus. Everyone they played, every team they played, everyone they played with, they now have to be quarantined and they can't play anymore. And that's one. And then here's two. As much as I like sports, and I want your opinion on both of these, as much as I want it back, is it really truly fair when we have people in New York that have lost another 700 people today? People in Chicago, where they just found out that 27 kids in an immigrant homeless shelter tested positive for coronavirus. We have all these people that are trying to get tested that need to be tested. Is it really prudent to be testing, using tests to test sports athletes just so they can entertain people when there are people out here dying that really do need the test? Is that really a good use of resources?
Yeah, let me start off with the hotel and the quarantine. So I would have to say if, you know, all the players are going to have, you know, the entire team, not only the players, the coaches, the staff, that's all involved, all be quarantined in one hotel. Just the other staff, as far as the cooks and everything, why not? You know, they're running the same risk, the same, you know, exposure, you know, exposing the players if they don't quarantine, if they go home to their families. You know, I think that would be the best thing to do. The drivers, everybody who's going to be involved in the game, in the sport. So whether that's baseball, that's basketball, whatever sport that may be. As far as the testing and getting back to sports and getting, you know, as much as we wanted and miss covering the game, I think it's we should wait so we can be sure that it's safe to play. Because there's also the risk of having the virus. You don't, you're asymptomatic. You don't know that you have the virus. You can go ahead and expose somebody else. Then now they're the ones that are showing symptoms when you didn't. There's also that risk. You know, as far as the test, I think that they should, unless a player, you know, needs to be tested and, you know, see that, you know, they have to follow the criteria, just like anybody else, that when they go to seek medical care for testing, if they need, you know, I think that should follow for everybody, players, non-players, wherever you sit on the spectrum, you need to meet that criteria in order to be tested. Because yes, you know, we're seeing the results of the virus. We're seeing what's happening in New York, seeing what's happening in Chicago, and all of, you know, how, you know, I wouldn't say of an issue, but how much people are being impacted by it. You know, every state is different. You know, here, the Governor Ducey for Arizona said that we can go back, start going and opening restaurants and certain places starting May 1st. I don't agree with that. So yeah. why jump the gun when you can have it be worse?
Here's my thought, I'm unapologetic. All those people that are complaining that they're ready to go back, go back. So go on, do your thing. And after 2 weeks, if you're good, then the rest of us go back. But if you don't make it, then we know. Because, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going back and sitting down in a restaurant with 120, 30, 150 people in there. I'm not. I'll support the restaurant, obviously. And if I have to work to support my family, obviously you're going to do that. But I'm fine leaving a tip and getting it to go. I'll drop off the tip and keep going. I'm not ready to do that. And we've seen that all these people, we had those idiot kids from Texas go down to Mexico and charter a flight and go down there, and half of them get the coronavirus, but they get on commercial flights to fly back to the States. That's just stupid. It's just dumb. And I know we need to get the economy going. I do. I really try. I know no one is more anxious than me to get back to it. But I'm not anxious to die. I'm not anxious to get coronavirus. So let's do what it takes. Let's get these tests. But that's why I go back to, as much as I want there to be sports, I don't want to prioritize people playing a game getting tested over people in cities that really need the test. They can't get the test. So we'll see. Anna Carrie Lackey, Law Line, the one, the only, Joanna Rosalie. So off of baseball real quick before we jump out of here, I got to get your opinion on this. WWE is wrestling. Now, we're all grown-ups. We all know why they're wrestling. Because Vince McMahon, his friends, good friends with Donald Trump. His wife, Linda McMahon, runs Donald Trump's super PAC. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is good friends with Donald Trump. And Linda McMahon, obviously I don't need to keep saying this, they all are in cahoots to get wrestling back on TV, and it never stopped, and they're down in Orlando wrestling with no fear of coronavirus, and they're testing wrestlers and checking their temperatures because they're quote-unquote essential employees. How the hell that flu, whatever, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So the UFC now is putting together a card that ESPN pulled the plug on before, and Dana White wants to keep this going. I personally think Dana White is a meat-headed idiot, because as much as the WWE is full of crap by coming out saying they're essential employees, and Linda McMahon and Vince McMahon, you know, tugging on DeSantis' shirt tail and getting the okay signed off, you know, with him because they know that's what Trump will want for his buddies, that's one thing. But that's fake. UFC is real. And you're going to have people on top of each other doing maneuvers, takedowns, sweating, transmission of blood, all of that stuff. Am I the only one that thinks Dana White is out of touch and is just missing the boat on this altogether? With a combat sport like that, and he still wants to put it on, does he not care about his fighters?
So, yeah, that was the talk this weekend. Because it was probably like 24 hours or something before the plug was pulled on the matches
yep.
for this last weekend. So, I think that yeah, he's crazy. I understand what he's trying to accomplish and where he's coming from, and he wants to have some type of sport, you know, still be out there, be active, and give something to the sports world, to the fanatics, you know, and not be down for so long. But, you know, you said it, there's the contact sport. There's that transmission. They're up, you know, they're in each up on each other and sweating and, you know, everything that's involved with the sport. There's a higher risk there of getting, you know, the contracted with the virus. WWE, I still don't get it. I don't follow it. So I don't know how, with their sponsors or anything like that, how that all entails, but, you know, it depends also who you're in bed with. So, but it's fake, but they still have a large audience. Yes, you're being tested, but I think WWE, just like any other sport, and like we discussed earlier, they should, yes, I understand they want to put on a show and not to let their fans down and have something out there for entertainment. But at the same time, you know, we're coming across, you know, yes, they're getting their athletes, their wrestlers tested, but have those tests go to those people that who indeed need it. You know, the entire world of sports is on hold. Why isn't the WWE on hold? You know, UFC
yeah.
be on hold. And I understand, you know, a lot of it came down to with the UFC is the sponsorship, ESPN and, you know, all the other sponsors saying that, hey, if you're going to put through with this, you know, I'm sure that they said, you do this or you do it, we're out, you're on your own, or you don't do it and you have our support, continued support. So that's, you know, pretty much what it all came down to. But
yeah,
I think Dana White should tread carefully.
Yeah, I think Dana White is tone deaf. I think Dana White's been tone deaf for a long, long time, but that's just a personal opinion. Okay, so I lied to you. Two other real quick things. Kyle Larson suspended, actually fired by his sponsors with NASCAR. I don't know if you're aware because we're not NASCAR people, but my point is asking this general question. He was online during a virtual race, which a lot of NASCAR and auto racing people are doing. He decided he'd throw out the N-word. Now, here's what I say, and I'm a firm believer in this. If you're playing a video game and you're 20-some years old, you're grown, you're a grown-ass man, and you just throw out the N-word, to me, you threw that out real comfortably. So you've used it before. That wasn't the first time. And I'm seeing all these tweets of people saying it's an understandable mistake. I don't know how it's an understandable mistake. Because the only way it's an understandable mistake is if you said it enough that you're so used to saying it that you mistakenly said it. So, but my point is, do you think at 20-some years old, obviously he's fired, and there's a price to pay for this, how long do you think he should be out before someone gives him a second chance?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. Obviously, I don't know. I don't follow NASCAR that closely, any like I used to. I did hear about this, transpired and heard, you know, a little bit of the background story. But I don't, you know, he's young. He'll eventually bounce back. I don't know that he's issued an apology as of yet.
He did. He went on Twitter.
Okay.
He went on Twitter. And I guess my question, I can care less about sport because, you know, me watching NASCAR is probably not something that's going to happen often. But I'm more concerned with when someone does something like that, what's the acceptable punishment? What's the acceptable time off? You've lost all your sponsors. You've lost everything. And everyone will probably look at you side-eyed a little bit going forward. But what is the punishment for that? Like, what makes everybody comfortable, I guess? You know what I mean? What makes one side say, okay, fine, he's sorry, let him go, and the other side say, it's been so long, that's a lot of punishment for what happened? Like, how do you come down on that judgment?
I think just regardless of however long it is, he's fired. How long is it before he's going to be able to get back on track? Who knows? It can be a year, maybe two. But I think that however it is that you proceed with that punishment, you're not going to make everybody happy, regardless of whatever your decision is. So I think that the decision that was made was just, you know, justified. Like you said, he said it, you know, probably a little bit too comfortably, and he says it a little bit too often. And, you know, it's not a word that, at least for me, it's not that I commonly hear and it's commonly used at all. So there's going to be, of course, there are going to be repercussions when it's used. So
yeah,
I've
always thought about that. Like I say, I just love it when people get all bent out of shape. I can't believe this person said that word. Listen, in people's houses with the doors closed, hell, we're friends. We say things to each other as friends, which will probably get us fired from about 8 or 9 jobs, corporate jobs in America. but so that's why whenever someone says, I'm so shocked, I'm never shocked. I'll say things that we say in private that we wouldn't say in public. When it slips out in public, that's what you're sorry for, that it slipped out. You're not sorry you said it. You're sorry it slipped out in the company that you were around. So that's what I think is funny. Hey, how long is the NFL going to pretend that coronavirus doesn't exist and pretend like everything is fine? They're just going to keep going on with their season and everything. How long are they going to pretend that they really believe that everything is going to come off without a hitch? So just hypothetical. What do you think? Around June, it'll start dawning on them like, hey, our season might be in trouble too.
I think it's probably going to come down to the wire, like, you know, July, August, when they start reporting and going to camp and preseason, you know, starts affecting the preseason launch and all of that. I think that's right now they're just, you know, waiting and waiting and pushing it out and pushing it out. And, you know, we know that, you know, the draft, what the decision was on that, of course, it's going to be virtual, but yeah, we heard about the situation and what happened with a certain football player. You know, there's also going to be those people that are going to do what they wish. And you can't stop them. But yeah, the NFL is holding its breath and hoping that they can still launch a regular season. And it's, you know, I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and then big time in the NBA, prayers out to Carl Anthony Towns and his family who lost his mom to coronavirus the other day. And the one thing the NBA they're toying with is pushing the draft back to August 1st. Joanna on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one and only Joanna Rosalie, Insight Sports, the president, the boss lady in charge. I think the NBA should cancel this season. I just do. I think it's lost something at this point. I don't think it's going to come back the same. Players will need almost a month just to ramp back up, and then you got to try to squeeze in season and then do all the other stuff. I just think, honestly, the NBA should scrap the season and hopes to get next season started on time. Just my opinion. Your quick thought before I let you go.
Yeah, I think that the season should just be canceled unless in some real manner they can come up with, you know, sometime during the year, not do a playoff, you know, bracket or anything like that, but just do kind of like a tourney or, you know, was discussed when the coronavirus started. Do something like that, even if it's not for a championship, but just do it for spectator view. So, and at least at the same time, players can get some action because they've been out of play for, you know, several weeks now. So it's going to be a matter of getting them back in action, getting them active, getting them, you know, doing the training on what they need to get in shape and being able to play those games again. It's kind of like doing another camp. And it's not going to be possible to do that and do the playoffs and do a championship. So
yeah, see, that's
just make it a wrap and move on.
Yeah, that's why I say everything should be done. No season, no playoffs, no nothing. Because I don't think the playoffs are going to be fair. Because if you end the season now and say, fine, we'll take the teams that qualified. If you have a team one or two games back, even though realistically they're not going to win, they're going to say, wait a second now. We were coming on. We were only a couple games back. We didn't even get in to try. So you're going to have that issue. And then, you know, they're an older team. It's going to take them longer to get back in the groove. And are they going to use that as an excuse? I think it's that, listen, I think there's so much sports we can still talk about. The NFL pretending like nothing's going on. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. Major League Baseball trying to squeeze in a season. I think there's plenty of stuff to talk about. But game-wise, honestly, I think we're making a mistake trying to figure out ways to rush it. When I'm looking at the TV now, and there's over 27,000 people dead from coronavirus, fastly approaching 28,000. And we're trying to figure out how people should go and compete. But you better get with that Michael Jordan. Watch Michael Jordan. You got 10 episodes coming out. That'll keep you entertained. Then when that's done, let's see where everything is. So, all right. Tell everyone how they can check you out. And by the way, just so you know, this is the first show. You're the first guest back on the first show I've done in a while.
Wow. Well, I'm honored. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, you're the superstar. So like I said, we're back.
We are back.
We're back.
So,
back to live shows. So so let everyone know what's going on.
So you can find me at Instagram and Twitter at JROSLYE, J Rosalie, and at Insight Sports Net as well at Instagram and Twitter. Follow us and listen in on our podcast as well.
There you go. Tonight, it's on.
Tonight is on 7 o'clock tonight, and we'll launch that podcast for everybody to listen and talking some more COVID-19, coronavirus, and some more sports, MLB, football, a little bit of everything. So tune in.
Sounds good to me. We'll talk tonight. Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you tonight.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
The one, the only Joanna Rosalie will be back on tonight on Insight Sports. You're looking forward to that big time. Big, big, big time. Well, it's in the books. It is in the books. So, we're back tomorrow. Greg Moore, AZ Republic, azcentral.com. I'm going to talk to Greg about stories. He's been in this game for a while, and I want him to tell me some of the coolest stories with some of the coolest people that he's done stuff with. Let's pay this bill, and we'll get ready to get up out of here.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining today. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you so much for having me back. Dedicate this show to my mom. And we will be back tomorrow. You can get us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. You can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. You can get our webpage at thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with the K. Thank you, Joanna, for joining us today. Look forward to hanging with you later. Until then, everyone have a good Wednesday. We'll see you on Friday. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.